How are y'all doing? No, really, how are you doing? You're doing okay? Who's in a great season right now? All right. Who's not in a so great a season? Who doesn't even know what season they're in? It's all stormy. You haven't seen the sun in so long. We'll see where we go today. It's been on my heart a lot last couple days, and I have a message, and we'll possibly get to it. I know it's weird to start off not having them. You know, I don't know if you ever noticed, but I can go a little sideways, and but it's weird to do it right from the get-go. So, but this is really what's been happening. Last week we talked a lot about heart. And I want to continue to talk about that because it is the big deal of your walk. It is the place that determines really what we believe. It's in your heart. It's not in your mind. And I share that. Well, first of all, we had a great baptism yesterday. I believe 16 people got baptized. It was awesome. Friday night was off the hook, and plus I want to thank all the people that work to put these things on, that get there bright and early and stay late. Thank you so much. The kids' camp was wonderful. I mean, there's just so many cool things happening. So many lives are changing. We got to baptize Olivia's mom. I don't know if you guys know Olivia, but she's originally from France, and her mom flew over from France to get baptized. I mean, to see them too, but to get baptized. Why? Because she's seen the change, not only in her daughter, but in her son-in-law, and seen the, you know, how God has moved in them, and she's smart. She wanted some of that, and but she's going to get the whole enchilada, so that'll be a cool thing. So, I mean, it was just cool to see. And she went in the ocean. That may sound like not a big deal, but it's a big deal when you can't swim. And it's even a bigger deal when it's all shore break. And so it was, she had this petrified look on her face. And, we saw waves coming and we just let her go and dive. And, it was a test of commitment right there. No, we didn't do that. But, I'm kidding, right? Yeah. But it was a great day. I was talking with Chris the other day, and Chris Jones isn't here. He hasn't been here for a couple Sundays, if you haven't noticed. He's got work, and, and I told him, hey, dude, don't ever feel that, you know, it's an issue if you have to work and it takes a Sunday, because he works here part-time, and he's got, you know, to take care of his family, and God's blessing him with work and an abundance of work, and so it's part of, you know, his world. And bivocational is hard. It's hard to work, as you know, Brian knows, and a lot of us, I have known that. It's hard to do a job and to serve and to work out the time for the family and to do all that stuff. So I told him, don't ever trip on any of that. That's just, it's okay. We'll miss you, but we'll manage. And he'll be back next week, this week, and so that's a good thing. But he's going through some stuff in his own family, real hard stuff, and he told me the other day, he says, Joe, man, I just want to run. I just want to, you know, not deal with it. And I go, that's so weird, because a Christian would never say that. Because we embrace the things of life, and we say, bring it on, Lord. And and he was saying, I just want to run. And and I told him, I totally get it. And I shared with you guys, you know, in this last year, not in the last number of months, but in the first year of my daughter's murder, dealing with all that, there weren't 10 days that I woke up that I just didn't want to do it no more. I just don't want to fight the fight. I just don't want to do the do. And people ask, and have asked me, and they will ask Chris, how do you stay in it when your mind's all over the place? And it's for this reason. This is the reason. Because you believe in your heart. that God is in control. That you believe in your heart that God is who He says He is. See, this is the thing. Our minds process information. Your mind is not where you believe. Your heart is where you believe. Your mind simply processes the information from what happens in our life, people, places, things, circumstances, situations. And the mind cannot process into the future. It always looks to the past. It always looks, what have we done in similar situations? And it passes that info down to the heart. And what you really believe in your heart, you will walk out. Not what your mind tells you. It's all about the heart. And Scripture tells us this, and this is the big deal. You know, when you are made a new creation by Christ, you know what He gives you new? A heart. Your heart that you come to God with is corrupted beyond repair. You have arterial sclerosis of the soul like nobody's business. Your heart is damaged beyond repair. Numerous places in Scripture tell us this. It says this in Ezekiel 36:26. The context is a little different, but the truth of this is true. And He says this, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. That's the Spirit of God instead of the spirit of us. We will now have a comforter, a companion, a teacher living with us. And this heart that we receive now is a new heart. That heart now that is new gets bombarded with new information. So as you become a child of God, you see, God doesn't change. He doesn't give us a new mind. He refreshes and renews it by the washing of His Word, and we begin to think God thoughts, which we never thought before, and now we have this battle in our mind, because how many know in here that when you came to Jesus, you still remembered everything about your life. You still remembered all the ways you coped, all the coping mechanisms you used, all the people that did things to you, the people you did things to you, that you did things to, your own life, everything is still there. But now it's getting a whole bunch of new information. And as you read the Word, it starts to change how you look at things, but it doesn't change how you believe about them. Until you, this new heart receives this information and says, yeah, that's where I'm going. Your heart determines what you believe and motivates you to move. Does everybody understand that? It's a huge concept. Because the battle is in the mind, is in the processing of information. The walking out is how you interpret that information. So God's going to give us a new heart and a new spirit. And it says this, He will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. He will take out of you the diseased arterial sclerosis, hardening of the heart, and give you a heart transplant. And He will give you a spirit that will come alongside you and begin to teach you how to walk it out. So our battle is really what we believe. Listen, it says in Hebrews 10:5, and the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For He says, this is the new covenant, this is a new promise I will make with my people on that day. Now there's the big day that God makes a covenant with His people, and that's moving towards the end when He restores the nation of Israel and all the other stuff that God wants to do. But there's also the day that you are restored, that you are made new. And so we can take that and personalize it. He says, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts. It's interesting he said that. My law will go to their hearts, will go to the place of where they begin to believe God's ways. See, only what you believe in your heart about God is what you're going to walk out in your life. How many of us in here have a lot of information about God, but our walks don't necessarily signify that? How many of us in here have tons of information about what we ought to do to take care of our bodies? Things we ought to do to take care of our relationships? Ways we ought to speak to people? Got a lot of information. But what you believe about that information is in your heart. And what you believe in your heart about it is what you will carry out. That's why it can be so problematic for God's kids to hear somebody espouse all this great gospel doctrine, all these great words of God, yet in the belief part of them, the way they walk it out, it doesn't quite line up. And we're confused about that. It's because in the areas they don't walk out, they don't really believe. They don't really believe that's the way it is. How many of us understand, for an example, that we need to speak the truth in love? But we're far better at telling them the brutal truth. We're far more believing that if I tell them the brutal truth, it somehow is going to help the situation. We believe that. Or we really wouldn't do it near as much. If I believe my words have great power, which the scripture says they have the power of life and death, why then so often do I speak death and it's so hard for me to speak life? Because I don't really believe it. Because my mind tells me, hey, you're being attacked again. What do we do when we're attacked? Strike hard. Okay, now I'm geared up and that's what I believe. The brain sends it down, the mind sends it down to the heart. And this is what I know what God said. I know what I feel. I'm going to go with my feelings on this. Because I believe my feelings are the correct way to go. I believe it. Yeah, but it hasn't worked in your life. Yeah, but this time.
Preach it.
Yeah. I will do that. And then we come, you know, and that's our battle. That's our deal. He says, listen, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. They will be able to call them up, but they are actually lodged there. Romans 10:9. If you openly declare... That's an NLT version. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your mind, didn't say that. Believe in your heart. Why the heart? It is the power source that moves us. It is the place. Well, you heard it, and I know I talked about it last week, but it's really a big deal. I'm hoping some of us get ahas in here. And understand that the battle of the mind is taking information that I once had processed with my old heart. And this goes on for our whole journey with God. And taking that information that I've already received, already believed chunks of it in my heart. Operate in that. And now I'm getting this conflicting information that God has given me in my mind as I study His Word, as I learn things. And now it tells me different things. My heart has to be new in order to embrace that. Your old heart can't embrace it. And our new heart gets fearful because it's new to us. The new heart you get in Christ... How many know that when you came to the Lord, a bunch of things in life went south? It wasn't this great line of great things happening. How many know that as you journey with Christ, things go south out of the blue? How does that happen? Well, God is dealing with your heart. He is coming against thoughts in our mind that say, if we do right, good things are going to happen to me. How many have ever had that thought? If I do right, everything should go smooth. How long did it take you to get disappointed in that? Then you have to deal with, well, what about that? How many had a vision or a way they thought God would act? I thought God would do these kind of things. I understood that God would, you know, he's supposed to do that. And then when he doesn't, what do you do with that? Well, it depends on what you firmly believe. Peter was a guy that every time he spoke in the gospel, it's like, oh, Pete. Oh, gosh, you did it again. Your thinking got all messed up. But when the Lord called him and said, are you going to leave too, buddy? What did he say? Where else can I go? That's a heart stance. You have the words of eternal life. I don't get none of them. I don't get how you're doing anything. But my heart is committed. When people have asked us, how have you dealt with, like Chris is going, what he's going through right now, how have you dealt with the traumas and the tragedies in your life? How have you done that? I tell, it's a heart issue. I believe in God no matter what. I don't like a whole bunch of the what. I don't get a whole bunch of the what, but my heart is set. In Luke 9, I think it is, when Jesus was getting ready to go to his death, and he was in the last number of months of his life, when he started to head down from Galilee to Jerusalem to get crucified. He actually knew what he was heading towards. It says, I set my face like flint. I'm using whatever version I'm using. And he says, I was committed to it. And then when he got to the garden, his mind started working. His heart was set, but his mind, Father, can you lift this thing? Can you take this away? Is there any other way? Is there any other way? I don't really want to do this. That was his mind. Now, if his heart wasn't already committed, he would have gone with whatever thoughts he had. I could call down 20 legions. I could make this all go away. I could make it go away. I mean, see, you and I oftentimes don't have that option. Oh, we have the option to run away. We don't have the option to make it go away or to dominate it. So we have to deal with it. But if my heart is tossed to and fro by every wind of thought that is going on and my past experiences, then I am a mess. I love that example that he gave of Exodus when they brought a rock for Moses to sit on because he had no more strength. He had no more strength. He sat on the rock. Now, the rock symbolizes a lot of things. Like Aaron talked about, it could be thrown at people. You can use it as a weapon. But the rock is Jesus. The rock is God. And God let him rest on God, and he let people lift his arms. I don't know how that all worked down in the field. You know, it said Joshua took some men. I don't know if these guys volunteered. Hey, you want to go fight down the Amalekites? They've kicked our rears forever. Not today, hamstring pulled. Would love to, but my mind is telling me, what do I believe? I believe they looked up and saw Moses, and when he had his hands up, they were somehow strengthened in heart. He ain't quitting. I'll tell you what, there is something when you look at someone that won't quit that is inspiring. There is some. That's what heroes are. Heroes were people that faced everything that other people face at whatever particular time and season that they're in, but they don't quit. That's who I want next to me. If I'm going to war, I want somebody that won't quit. That's, you know, I don't want somebody that'll quit. I'll understand it, but I have seen it all many times. But I that's not what's going to go. But this is the thing. Besides someone being with me, I have to have that heart to go. And sometimes you go alone. And that's the way you go. That's just the way it is. And that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. One of the beauties of being in Christ, when your heart, you know, it's a beautiful thing when your heart is set, that you actually become okay with not being okay. Yeah, everything that my mind is telling me, everything circumstantially, everything, even in my body is jacked. Oh, this is this, and I'm not okay. But I'm okay. The heart is still pumping. I still know there's a God. I still know, you know, we're okay. We're going to be okay. That's what enables me. That's one of the beautiful things I love about my wife, is we've endured together. We have the same heart. Our minds are a little different, because we are different, and that's okay. We make allowances for each other because we think and we look at things differently. Part of it's our gender, part of it's our background. I tell people, you know, see, this whole idea of allowing somebody might in here in their mind might be thinking, you know, allowing someone to hold your arms up to help you when you're weak. I don't want to do that. Oh, no, I don't want people to know my business. You know, that you're having a battle of the mind now. The Bible tells us we need each other. It says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I can read that. I can understand it. I might even know the Greek roots. But if I don't believe it in my heart, I won't do it. If my mind says, Joe, do not share that. We take this in. You don't want to look weak. You don't want to look vulnerable. You're not going to let anybody lord it over you. If you show weakness, people will take advantage of that. That's a problem. Now, I have these competing thoughts. Which one does my heart believe in is the one I will walk out? And if I think I don't need anybody, I will be lonely. I will be alone and I will fail over and over and over again in that thing because I have not exposed it and I've not got the help. Well, I don't want to get help. Okay, just be honest about it. If you don't want to get help, has anybody ever had somebody shove you to get help and you don't want to get help? How open were you to getting help? Not. Not open to it. Why? Because your heart was against it for whatever the reason. That's why, in order for our mind to be washed, we have to get God's word into it. And then we have to process, why does my mind keep going back to certain things? Why do I believe that to still be good? What happened there? People that come in the office and I don't really like to share anything about what's real, you know, what happened. I had a great family. I don't like to share anything about my life, but my family, they were tremendous. We had a wonderful, loving family. I said, well, oh, okay, that, good. I'm glad to hear that. That's awesome. This isn't about loving your family, though. I get it. You love them. But how did they handle problems? Oh, we never talked about them. How did that work? Everybody's doing their own thing, and you know we love each other, but we don't share nothing. So you took that into your marriage, yeah? Gosh, and I married this chick. She wants to talk about everything. See, I admired her when we were dating. Man, she's really in touch with stuff. Man, she likes to talk, and she admired me. He's really strong. Look, he's a silent, strong type. I like that about him. And I get to talk and people listen because in my family, everybody talked, but I was a little one. Nobody listened to me. And this guy listens. He actually seems interested. He's actually going, God, will she shut up? He didn't say it then. That's about 3 years into it. It's like, man, I don't want to talk about it now. How was your day? It was good. That's not good enough. It was a good day. No, what was it? Yeah, then Tree starts with this. Did I say her? Well, tell me the best part of your day. It's like, what's the worst part of your day? Oh, God. Here's my thing. I come home from work. I don't want to talk about work. So this thing I do 10 hours a day is a blank slate in my wife's life. What's he do? What's he think? You know how she told me, Joel, I hear you talking to your bros. And you're telling them about work and this and that. And so, she goes, that's how I learn about what's going on in your life. I listen to you talk to those guys. How come you don't tell me nothing? And stuff. Because my dad never did. I'm not blaming my dad. It's just the way I saw them operate. I only saw my dad speak when he was mad. And so, you know, we grow up with all kinds. That might not be your story, but there, you got a story. And your brain has interpreted and processed how you ought to deal with things based on people, places, and things. And your heart chooses the way you should go in that. And then sometimes we do this thing when we come to Jesus. We get this new heart, and so we don't want to be a fighter anymore or a flighter. We fight or flight. So we don't want to do that. So we do the opposite. So we got one of two choices. I either fight or I flight. And I tell people all the time, well, what other choices can you do? What else can you do about it when you have these things appear in your life? What else? Well, I don't know. Well, you're sitting across from me, so counseling's an option. You've already chosen that option. Did you know you just chose that? Well, I'm not even sure why I'm here. Okay, that's cool. We're talking. That's an option. What about speaking the truth in love and discussing it with this person? Well, I don't want to hurt them. Listen, if you don't tell people the truth in love, which means to help fix the situation, you are going to tell them a lie thinking you're helping them. If I tell you a lie, then I'm really helping you. This is the problem with that. Sounds great. Mind processed it. The problem is the truth is in your heart. You know what you believe. So what happens? What you believe will come out. But I thought it wasn't a big deal. But now you're giving me the silent treatment. Well, it's better than throwing the dishes. So why don't you just tell me the truth? Because lies don't help. They paint a picture. They give you something that isn't real. The real will be walked out. That's why belief is in the heart. It's not in the mind. The mind can tell you a lie. And you can, if you believe that lie. How many of you believe that telling lies was a good thing to do? I know people that have committed adultery in their relationship and have never told their spouse because they don't want to hurt them. I get it. Totally get it. They might leave. They might do this. I totally understand. So what you do is you present a lie by denial or by, you know, just not saying anything ever. But your heart knows. And so there is always a block there. There is always a block to intimacy there. That's what porn does. Porn creates a block to intimacy. It creates but one, first of all, to God, second to ourselves, and third to anybody we're in a relationship with. It creates a block there, even though we're super sneaky. Or any other thing, we sneak around. When you sneak around, you have to carry that somewhere. Your heart knows, especially if you got God and you got a new heart. It's, and you got the Spirit with you is going, We're going to need to deal with this. You may need to deal with it in a particular way or whatever. I'm just using that as an example, man. Don't be going home and throwing out garbage on people. You need to really think it through and how this should be best played. But I'll tell you this, lies will always cause distance, even if the other person doesn't know they're being lied to, because in their heart they do know, because they're seeing something. You cannot deny your beliefs forever. That's why we run and we isolate and insulate and do this and push people away, so because they will peek us out at some point. That's why cops, I don't know if you guys have ever been in around cops, but I got cops on both sides. I know cops, and I know the other side. And cops let people talk Because at some point, their words start to you just can't help it. They start to reveal something that's in the heart. That's how they get you. That's why you don't say nothing. Except I want a lawyer. You lawyer up at the get-go. That's a little word of advice to one of you people. Helping the fam. Listen, he says this. I know. What? Romans 10:9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, if that is your belief, you will be saved. And part of that word saved is healed. It healed. When my mind and my heart line up with truth, something starts to change in my life. When I can tell God from my heart, see, I don't play games with God. I tell him from my heart. I believe in you, God, and I believe this was a big mistake. I believe, and truly, I don't. In my heart of hearts, I don't. I say I'm hurt and I'm wounded and I can't believe you, God. And you know, and there's the flip side of that. Sometimes there's great things. You go, I can't believe you let me do this. I am. I told Sandy the other day when I came in there in the church, I put my key in the lock and it still worked. That's a good sign. You know, and I thank God that I have this job. I thank God that I can do what I am made to do, that I feel most at home doing. You know, I thank, that's a great blessing in my life. Great blessing. I get to do this. And I know it can be taken away. And I know that I don't necessarily have to take it away. We've been wounded by others too that have taken away what was rightly we should still be holding. But even in that, God's got something. And that's a heart thing. He says this, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. It is by using your mind to declare what you believe, a lining up of word and belief that give us freedom. When you and I, see, I was a man that could commit to a bunch of stuff in my life. Walking out that commitment, not so much. That varied according to what other beliefs were happening. But God changes us. So as we've been studying Romans, we're going to get into Romans here for a little bit. And then we'll carry it on next week. I wanted to go into Romans 6 today, but I really, really felt that we needed to get a little bit understanding of how we walk out our lives. And it is from the heart. That's why when God was speaking to Eli and when he was going to anoint, Prophet Samuel, when he was going to anoint the next king of Israel, and David's dad brought out all the brothers and stuff, and not David. He says, I'm not looking for size and skills and abilities. I'm looking for heart. Someone who will make mistakes, but their heart is set in the direction they should go. And that's the key that will carry you through all the tragedies and hard stuff of life that you don't even know what you're heading towards. And you don't even know the good stuff. Because see, heart works both ways. It enables me to endure suffering. And it also enables me to step into the new. It also enables me to handle prosperity well. Because God's desire is to prosper His kids. His idea of prospering can vary. But His desire is to prosper us well. He wants us to be able to do what James tells us, to be whole and complete and not lacking in anything. To have every slice of the pie. I always look at our lives as a pie chart. And there's multiple slices for multiple things in our lives. And you may be great at a few of the slices, and everybody in here is. You are outstanding in some of the slices of life. And God is great with that, and you will prosper in those. But God wants you to be great at all of them. He wants you to be good at prosperity. He wants you to be good at suffering. He wants you to be content when you have plenty and content when you are in want. He wants you to understand that life is a journey. And that you will face the aspects of all of us do. Oh, we sit in different places on the train, but we're all going. We all, you know, if you live long enough, you're going to be old. I tell the kids, come here, watch me change Aaron, because you're going to be changing mine. You may as well learn to do it right. I get it. I told Teresa, I don't want to lose my mind. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't get to call it, but I don't want to lose my mind. Put the pillow over my head. You know, I just don't, because I've seen it. I've seen what that is, and I don't want to go that way. And but see, it ain't my choice. How many of us would like to write a whole list of what we don't want to do? Dear Lord, here, I'd appreciate it if you handle this one. These are the things I'm not really good with the heart on. So, here's something you need to understand with your mind and believe in your heart. They need to align. When Romans 5:6, you know, we ended up last week with talking about we are friends of God. We are the friends of God. You have to believe that. Here. Or else, if you believe you're not, if you believe God is against you and not for you, well, if you have these competing thoughts going on in your head, God's for me. Oh my gosh, this happened. God must be against me. Oh God, God's for me. Oh God, this thing happened. God's punishing me. Oh God's for me. If you're, whichever one you believe is what you're going to walk out. Whichever one filters down to your heart as a belief is what you walk out. So your job is not to know everything about God. Your job, and you won't. In fact, the longer you walk with God, the less you get of how He does stuff. It becomes mysterious to you. He is a mystical God. He is a God whose thinking is far beyond ours. And that's what I believe in my heart. And so I'm okay when my mind is telling me, what is going on here? What is happening? Someone the other day, it was awesome. We're gearing up for this Friday night, and there's been some blowback on the deal. And there always is, you know. And I was thinking, I'm talking to this person. They didn't even know how they ministered to me. I'm saying, man, I'm hoping it's going to work. I'm hoping we're really going to be able to do what we do. But in my heart, I'm gearing for failure. I know. I'm the point person. I'm gearing for and this person says, dude, it's gonna be awesome. And it was he said it like he believes it. He said that with such faith. It's like I jumped onto that faith. I go, yeah, I can buy into looking at it like that. But see, Joe's philosophy on life is always, it's a great idea, but I don't know. This guy just built me. He didn't even know it. He just said in passing, he goes, man, this is going to be great. It's like, man, we need those people who have that heart when we don't. That's why we need to let people in our lives. That's why you're going to have that time when someone's got to hold your arms up, because all the heart you can muster is to sit on a rock. You're still there, but you ain't got nothing. You got nothing to give. And that's where we need them. Because we will. And so, listen to what God did for us. And we're going to just read a little bit of chapter 5, because it's where we kind of ended off, and we'll launch into 6 next week, I believe, I guess. I have faith. I believe somewhat in my heart. This is what I do know. If God doesn't take me home, I will be here next week. So that much I can promise you. That's if God, you know, sees fit. So it says this in Romans 5:6. When we were utterly helpless, you need to understand that. When your heart was corrupted beyond repair, look at it in the natural. If you had a, what do they call when your heart's just jacked? A lot of different things. But when your heart is, you need all, you can't do nothing to fix it. Utterly helpless. When your mind was utterly helpless to get you out of, to take you where you want to go, to live your ideals, to meet anything. When you were in that state, it says this, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. He said, Christ came and died for us, our sinners. John 3 tells us that the Father sent His Son to die for us. As you know, I've lost my son. I wouldn't send him to die for any of you. And I love a lot of you on a personal level. And I love all of you and want the best for all of you in your life. But I would not sacrifice my son for you. That's the kind of love God has for us. That He sacrificed His Son to save you. When you were utterly helpless to do anything to help that. To make that a real deal. He gave that. He gave. And Jesus said, oh, okay. And He set His heart to do it. You need to understand that's the value you have to God. He says this, now, and he gives this example, Paul, in verse 7. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. You're darn tootin'. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. And I'll tell you what, there's not one person in here that wouldn't die for their child. There's not one person who wouldn't die for their child. In a heartbeat. And I've lost kids, and I ask God, let me die. Why let him die? Let me die. Let him live his life. Got so much. Let me. I get it. So I'd be willing to die for any of my kids, any of my grandkids. Few of you people. But God sent His Son to die when you were His enemy. And you were utterly helpless. You were not worth saving, in other words. He says, listen, but God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Whew. Now you can read that in Scripture here, because that's what we just did. I gave you information that is true, that is of God. That was penned by man, authored by God. Only a new heart can believe that. See, and if you believe it in the core of your being, you will not walk in condemnation anymore. If you walk condemning yourselves for messing up, condemning yourselves for doing this, you don't believe it. You don't believe what that word says. But when you believe that God sent His Son to save you when you had nothing to do with it. Even the fact you can believe is a God thing. That changes. That heart belief changes something. So when things come against you, you know that God loves me. And then he goes on to say this, listen. If God, well, Romans 5:9. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, since that transfusion has taken place, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. When we are in Christ and fully understand the price to which God paid to save us, there is a divine knowledge that changes our hearts. Look at in verse 10. For since our friendship, do you really believe in here you're a friend of God? Well, I'm not that good of a person. Yeah, we get it. But what did he say? What he says is what I believe. If I go by what I'm thinking, I'm in, out, all about. I'm all over the place. He says, listen, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. If we were saved when we were his enemies, now that we're his friends, why wouldn't he save us then? If you're the person that believes in the Lord, and as you walk with the Lord, if you fall, you're not sure if you're saved anymore, and you're in salvation, you're out of salvation, he saved you when you were an enemy. He's going to save you now that he considers you a friend. If he saved you, man, did you guys get that? Get that here. Where are we at? So, now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Do you rejoice in your relationship with God? We can. I'm a friend of God. I know we sang it last week. I'm a friend of God. I believe that. So when all the things that happen, I know that God is my friend. I talk to God as my friend. I revere him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Family-wise, he's my older brother. I respect him, but I talk to him mostly as my friend. I talk to him in my coming and in my going. I talk to him when I'm up. I talk to him when I'm down. I talk to him when I'm here. I talk to him when I'm there. He's my friend. He's my friend. I talk to him when I mess up. I even talk to him when I willfully mess up. Hey, I know what you said, but I'm going to step over here for a minute. Because only your friends really know you. And I tell married people all the time, if your spouse isn't your best friend, something's wrong here. Something's wrong in this relationship. It can be completed, but when we begin to look at our spouse as our best friend, the best thing my former pastor ever told me after I got in ministry, he said, his wife basically said this, listen to your wife. Why? She's your better half. God gave you this woman. Why would you not listen to her? Why would you minimize her input and maximize somebody else's input? Why would you do that? Because, let me think about that for a minute. You have to look at that. Why would I do that? Why would I look at this person as my adversary? Why would I look at God as my adversary? Why would I look at him if I'm his friend and he's my friend, that he's got something against me? And he's working against me. That's why I believe his plan is the best. And I'll tell you what, Teresa and I have had many discussions since the loss of our kids about how can this possibly work, be good? How can this, not that thing is good, but how... Really? That's the A plan? That's the A plan? Because it could be a B plan. I heard people say that God lets things happen because people sin and he recovers it from that. But that wouldn't make, I believe in his sovereignty. So I believe he's in charge all the time. And so if he allows something, there's a purpose in allowing it. And he can also allow people to exercise their free will as they... Teresa's been listening to this tape. Can I share that now that I shared it? Listening to what happens. It says, you guys might want to look up the link. What's the link? Your body keeps the score and it's all about PTSD. It's all about traumatic events and how they affect the body, how they affect the brain, how they affect the way you act. And as we were reading it, it's like, oh my God. Well, Teresa's been telling me. I haven't listened to it yet. I am going to, but I haven't listened to it yet. And she was telling me, she goes, it's Ricky. It's the guy that murdered our daughter. It's him. No wonder. Oh my God. And you know what it has given her? And me? An empathy for this guy. An empathy for how damaged and how troubled he must have been. How deeply, deeply isolated and insulated and broken. Hey, this war thing, I know we honor our soldiers, but man, we're in wars that never end, and we are damaging young people. So bad. So bad. So bad. And, you know, it's traumatic. And it's changed a belief system. You know, it's this information we've allowed into our hearts. And see, that's the new heart. Only a new heart can forgive the unforgivable. Only a new heart can forgive. I've read books that say you don't have to forgive people that have hurt you and molested you and done damage to you. And I get it. With the old heart, totally. Harden that heart. Harden that heart. Protect yourself. And I get it. I would too. I did too. But with a new heart, there's a capacity in there to see good in damage. You know, to realize people operate out of what they believe to be right, and that belief is damaged. That's a messed up heart. So anyway, you might want to look at that. The body keeps score. And especially for those who have been traumatized. You know, you've been raped, you've been molested, you've been seen horrible things. And you don't have to see millions of them. You don't have to have, you know, a long history of junk. That just takes it to another level. But you can have junk that is right there. So our friend, our God, he's my friend, he's my buddy. And I believe it in the core of my being. And you know what is else? I'm sold out to be his friend. I will not betray my friend. I will not betray him. I may fail him. May. It's early in the day. I may fail him, but I will not betray him. I am sold out. He is God. I get him, and I want him, and I know it all works out in the end. That's the beautiful thing. We win in the end. So I'm gonna be in the fight till the fight's over. Your job be in the fight. So why don't we stand up? Let's do this. Listen. Can I lead you in a prayer? Therese told me last week, hey Joe, I got one thing to tell you. Slow down your prayers because it's hard to follow when you don't give us time. So I'm going to go to slow today and try to remember this every Sunday. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you loved me so much that you sent Jesus to die for my sins when I was utterly helpless to change myself. I thank you for that. I thank you, Jesus, that you willingly laid down your life that I may live with you forever, and that you call me friend. You are no longer an enemy. You are my friend. I believe this in my heart. I have confessed it with my mouth, and I am saved. Now I ask you, God, transform the way I think so that I can take the proper information in my new heart and in the parts of this new heart that are still operated by my old thinking. Change me. Give me a belief that I may hold on to, that will not shift like sand when the trials of life come. That I may be steady. That I may stand on the rock. Or sit on it. But I will stay in position.
Even when I
don't
want to.
And I want you to do this, God. So have at it. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Have a great day.